So what a privilege to step through that wardrobe door into Narnia. Do you know what our privilege is now? We can step through the door into God's throne room. That's what prayer is about. And so I invite you to journey with me into God's presence, for we have a gracious God, and he invites us to kneel before him, not for ourselves, but for others. So let's pray. Father, thank you that in our time of need we can approach you without fear or trembling or doubt or hesitation, because Jesus has broken through for us. He takes us through the doorway into your throne room. And so we come to lay before you some of the things that trouble us, some of the things that we want to cry out to you for. And so we come to pray again for that dreadful situation between Israel and Gaza. Lord, as we approach Christmas, how will they feel? Cut off from their families, and families bereft of those they love. But we also think of those 1,000 Christians among 2 million Muslims in Gaza. Not only suffering from the bombs, the deprivations, the cold, the isolation, the destruction all around them, but fearful because they own the name of Jesus as Lord. Father, be with them in their darkness and lead them into your presence, even as we pray for them. And as we cast our minds around our broken world, today we stop in Afghanistan to pray for those who are suffering under the Taliban after so many decades of violence. They're now held in this iron grip that is so cold and unloving. Father, we pray for believers in Afghanistan as well as all the people there that feel oppressed, isolated, and alone. And we remember, Lord Jesus, how you came to a people who were isolated and oppressed by Rome, ordered to go to a census. But you came to us, and we plead with you to go to them and bring them your hope and your comfort and your strength and your life and your truth and your freedom. Lord, this is our prayer for the people in Afghanistan. But we also pray for those who will struggle nearer to us, for those for whom this is the first year they will face bereavement, having lost someone very close to them, husband or wife, parent or child. And in their darkest hour, made more intense by the brightness and joy of Christmas, Lord, comfort them, we pray. We think too of those who are homeless, having to cope with the cold without the security and the warmth and the peace that we all enjoy and take for granted. Lord, be with them. Thank you for those who seek to help those who are without a place to call home. And we pray that you will bring them soon to a place of security themselves. Father, we come before your throne to pray for others. And we pray for your peace, your joy, your love, and your hope to fill them and all those we love. And we think too of our children as they will soon be leaving us. Be with them. May they have fun. May they discover more of Jesus for themselves and grow into Christ to find the fullness of life that only he can offer. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and as he taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
It's always a pleasure when David comes to speak to us. And I really enjoy when he comes. Although I have actually spotted one thing. Whenever David is preaching and I'm reading, it's always a long reading. And obviously this time, David thought one reading wasn't long enough, so we're going to have three readings. The first reading, for those of you following in the church Bibles, can be found on page 752, and it's Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and calls water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, and no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right and who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and you have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us as we pray, for we are all your people. And the next two readings can be found on page 593 and are from Psalm 80. Beginning with verses 1 to 7. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Await your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbours, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. And from verse 17. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved.
I thought you were giving me your Advent draw for today, but obviously not. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you all. Thank you for being here. I thought I wasn't going to make it this morning because as I tried to drive out of Coventry, the road was closed. Not half closed. I mean, we're used to half closures, aren't we, and traffic lights and people digging up the road, but for some strange reason, the whole road was closed. I thought, how on earth am I going to get out? Good job I know my way. Anyway, for better or worse, and Martin might well think for worse, I'm here. I hope that's all right. Even if it's not, I am. Anyway, there we go. I've got lots of bits of paper today. Christmas. It used to be a day. Now I reckon it's 2 months. Soon as Halloween was over, the shops were full of it, weren't they? And it's been building up ever since. We've already had most of the Christmas films twice. Not that I've had time to watch any of them. And if your mail is anything like mine, you've had literature from the Salvation Army, the BMS, Life Words, Christian Aid, Tear Fund, so it goes on. Oh, they've all been sending out their Christmas appeals. Have you noticed that? Must get in early. Christmas. Used to be a day, but now it's 2 months. At least that's what it seems. So it's made me think really hard, which is probably not a good thing for you, but it has this year. Because here we are, 3 days into December, and we are saying it's not Christmas, it's Advent. Is there a place in our lives? And indeed, should there be a place in our society's life for Advent? But what on earth? I suppose I need to switch this on. No, it is. What is Advent? I thought, I'll go to the fount of all knowledge. I'll go to the Anglican Church. And this is what it told me. Advent is a season of expectation and preparation as the church prepares to celebrate the coming, the Adventus. There's the clue, you see. Adventus is Latin for coming. As the church prepares to celebrate the coming of Christ in his incarnation and also looks ahead to his final advent as judge at the end of time. That's Advent. It's a time of expectation and it's a time of preparation. It went on to tell me that the themes for Advent are the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Which would you like this morning? But what's this all about? You see, there's another version of what we should be celebrating at Advent with these four candles. It's about God's coming. He's coming in creation and he's coming in the Bible. That was very convenient for Bible Society because the second Sunday in Advent was always designated Bible Sunday. And it's about Jesus' coming, his first coming at Bethlehem, and of course his second coming, but always involving our preparation. So Advent should be a time when we are longing for something and looking for something. It should be a time for waiting, even in a queue, and watching. Because you can wait and not watch. It's interesting watching people in a bus shelter. Some of them are waiting, but they're not watching. They're just, it'll turn up sometime. And the others, a bit more like me, They're not only waiting, they're watching. Where is that? You see, there's a difference between waiting and watching. And it's a time for preparing, and I believe for praying, for repenting and restoring. Advent. What is it all about? Well, you've had today's readings, thanks to Martin. Did well. Shall we give him a round of applause? Later, perhaps. And in that first reading, the prophet appeals to God to look on us. And then there's Psalm 80, which says, save us. And there's a third one, or a fourth one in your way you count them, which I'll read later. But what is it all about? I want to suggest that we pick up the theme of hope, because another way for arranging the Advent thoughts is the first one is hope, the second one is peace, the third one is joy, and the fourth one is love. So here we are, hope. And I want us to think about it in terms of hope for a change. I've been doing some research. Party conference slogans. Aren't they wonderful? Labour had Build a Better Britain. Build a Better Britain. That resounds, doesn't it? But that was then translated, it's time for a change. Probably hinting that we need a change of government. What was the Conservative Party slogan? Long-term decisions for a brighter future. Or in other words, change takes time. I want to suggest that as Christians, our party theme should be hope for a change. How then can we be saved? Said the prophet. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty, that we may be saved, said the psalmist. Do we need a change? If you look at the church, the headlines are, it's in decline. There's degeneration going on. In other words, there aren't as many young people here as there used to be, are there, Rachel? Apparently Rachel and Kevin used to be in the youth club here together. And there's a loss of confidence. We need a change in the church, don't we? Does that church reflect our view of God, the source of all power and goodness and truth and righteousness? And we're in decline. But more than ever, I think we need a change in our world. COP28 is going on. We're desperate for a change in the way we deal with our world, because if not, we're heading for catastrophe. We're told time and time again. And we're told time and time again, don't worry, that the nations will sort it out. We'll make our promises. We've made our commitments. All will be well. Until tomorrow. I think that we live in a rather sad society, where the social divide seems to be getting bigger. Yes, we might have managed to halve inflation, but we've also more than doubled the people who are homeless because of the rise in mortgage prices, rents going up and all of that. And one of the things that really troubles me is what's happening to families. So many are breaking up, aren't they? And even if they're not breaking up, they're experiencing tension and stress and fear. It's not what God wanted for our families. He wanted us to be together so that we could find help and comfort and strength in one another. And there's so much trouble. Confusion as to what a family is. homes without one or more parents, children who feel uncared for and unloved, developing into distressed and sometimes violent teenagers. It's so sad. We need a change. We do need a change. And I think that if we're going to have change, we need to kind of have a discontent with the present situation. That's what I've been outlining, isn't it? But that's what the psalmist said. Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You've fed them with bread of tears. You've made them drink tears by the bowlful. You've made us a source of contention to our neighbours, and our enemies mock us. It's what the prophet said. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you've hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Look at our world. Are you happy with it? Look at our nation. Are you happy with it? Look at our society. Are you happy with it? Look at your church. Are you happy with it? Look at yourself. Are you truly happy with yourself? Are we not, from person to planet, in a situation where we need change? But I've indicated, everybody is offering change. Politicians, finance people, everybody is offering us change, but what we offer is not change. We offer hope, and that makes us different. But if you want change, if you're going to offer hope for a change, you need memories of a better past. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down, for when you did awesome things that we did not expect. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. See, Advent is a time of waiting for God. And if we want to offer the hope for change, we not only have to kind of be discontented with the world around us as it is, but we have to think there could be something truly, truly different. And that's God who makes the difference. But we also need a longing for a better future. That's what the psalmist cries to God for. Save us, O God. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. It echoes through that psalm. Your vine is cut down, it's burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man that you have raised up. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Do we have a longing for a better future? Or have we said, settle for Christmas? You see, what does Christmas, the season of Christmas, actually do for us? I think it's a kind of diversion from reality, isn't it? And there are times when that's okay. You know, if you've got a bad head, I don't blame you if you take paracetamol or whatever you take. As long as, in taking it, you do not hide from reality. Because it might just be that the reason you've got a bad head is because you've got a tumour. And it needs attending to soon rather than later. And don't misunderstand me. I don't mind. I can enjoy all the festivities and parties and endless carol services at schools and wherever else you go. Christmas is great. Crackers can be fun. Even wearing hats can make you feel better. But don't let us deceive ourselves. Let's not allow Christmas to divert us from reality. In case there's something deeper that needs sorting. And I believe there is. You see, I think so often we are being offered a kind of delusion about what really makes people tick and really makes people happy. We're being offered change which isn't change. Commercialism and things, they're like the tinsel, not like God. And I believe one reason why Advent truly matters is it says, face reality. Heaven, hell, sin, judgment, face it. But face it with hope. Hope for a change. Can we offer to ourselves first, and then to those around us, hope for a change? Now, hope seems so ephemeral, so difficult to grasp. But we have a hope that is firm, an anchor for the soul. And I believe that our society, as well as our own souls, need God's hope at this particular time. So as you look around and see so much to make you sad, look back and remember we have a God who came to share our lives in every way in Jesus. Look back and remember a God who, when he came in Jesus, was prepared to give himself, not just presents, so that we could be saved. Look back and remember that the grave is empty because he rose from the dead, and faith in him is the substance of our hope. We must not lose it at this time. And then look forward. Have hope in your hearts. The hope that only God can give. for time and for eternity. Grasp God's hope. We're called to live in the now, but we're called to hope in God's coming. And we're also called in doing that to do something else. And these are the words of Jesus. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know the time that when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. In other passages, Jesus talks about when he comes back, don't let him find you dancing or drunk. I don't know which you plan to do over Christmas. Be drunk, to dance, or to sleep. But what I don't want us as Christian people to do is to be seduced by the Christmas season and forget to wait for God. Not just waiting, as at the bus station, not caring when it comes, but waiting like a person who is eager to get onto the bus so they can do whatever is required. Will you, this Christmas season, this Advent time, as that candle burns, choose now that you will give time to God over and above what you might otherwise do, to cry to him, to wait for him, to watch for him, to long for him, to look for him, to pray to him. Because unless we decide, the Christmas season will wash over us like a tsunami. And we shall forget that as God's people, we are called to offer his hope, a hope of cleansing, a hope of forgiveness, a hope that God has come to us and our world will not fall out of his hand. Don't let Christmas become a diversion, either from the realities of our world that cries out for a saviour, or for the reality of Christmas that means we have a saviour. We can offer something different to everybody else. We can offer God's hope for a change. Because the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and the people who walked in darkness can see God's light again. Advent, a time when we wait for the coming of Jesus.